You may remain seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, who has sent his Son into the world, that the world through him might be saved. Amen. In the blood of Jesus Christ and in the confession of his saving name, dear fellow servants of God, there was one ring to rule them all, and it sits in the pocket of a small, humble hobbit. The Lord of the Rings is the story of a magic ring that finds its way into the possession of a hobbit, a small, humble creature. The ring is supposed to grant great power to whoever possesses it, but there is a catch. The power given is evil, and it corrupts whoever has the ring. It has a draw to it, a coveted power sought by kings and wizards and sorcerers who would use this power for their own personal advantage. But even those who are good are tempted by it. Even those who would use the ring's power for their own good purposes find themselves turned over to greed and selfishness, using the power for their own personal gain. One ring to rule them all. And while everyone's trying to seize this ring, it finds its way into the hands of a small, humble hobbit. It's a story about seizing power. The story of the ring. And isn't that what we witness? All around us in different vocations of life, in our own lives, people trying to seize power, trying to gain an advantage. Whatever the reason, whatever the justification, it's a story about how power is used for our own advantage, our own personal gain. Maybe the 19th century British historian was right. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But another asked this question: where does that leave God? God, after all, is the only one who truly has absolute power. With absolute power on the grandest scale over all things in heaven and on earth, what will he do with it? What will he do with that power that's in his hands? This is what the second article of the Apostles' Creed is all about: a confession of what God does with his power. It addresses God's Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, dead, and buried. It's what Martin Luther puts into words in the Catechism, explaining what this text is all about. Let this same mindset be in you, namely the mindset of Christ Jesus. Paul has just finished a series of exhortations, emphasizing and re-emphasizing the importance that Christians would live together in humility, in love, and not for selfish gain, that we would value others above ourselves. And now he shows how this is accomplished by having the mindset of Jesus. It's a confession of what we believe, a theology, a doctrine. It shapes our mindset. It shapes our heart. And today we find it shapes our lives. As we confess a second article mindset, that is, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God and also true man, is my Lord. Our text comes from Philippians chapter 2. Let this same mindset be in you, namely the mindset of Christ Jesus, who although he was existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be seized for his own gain, but rather, he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and being born in the likeness of men. And appearing as a man, he humbled himself and became submissive to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God has also exalted him and granted him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's Son with skin on him. Although he was in the form of God, meaning Jesus was God, divine in shape and substance and every way God, he didn't consider it something to be seized for his own gain. So often when we see power being taken, it has to be grabbed, it has to be seized, it has to be taken away from someone else and claimed for your own. Kings, politicians, corporate CEOs, big name lawyers, we see it so often. Power just doesn't come naturally. It has to be seized. As you read the history books, you can learn how this never comes without a price. It often requires putting someone else down, putting someone else to death, in order for someone else to rise. But Jesus didn't need to seize or grasp this power. As some translations put it, he did not consider it robbery. Being in the form of God was Jesus' natural way of living, his natural mode of existence. He didn't need to fake it. He didn't need to cling to it. He didn't need to show it off. But rather, he emptied himself. He took the form of a slave, and he came in the likeness of men. And appearing as a man, he humbled himself and became submissive to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know how he came. How he came on a donkey. This Palm Sunday, we are taken from the heights of Hosanna to the horrors of hell. From that mountaintop, we see the one who comes into view to the shouts of Hosanna, praise to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's come, the King of the Jews has come to his holy city to claim what is rightfully his, what has been promised to him in the Old Testament. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. But the closer and closer he gets, and the closer and closer this power is to his grasp, the more we're left to wonder, who is this King of Glory? Because when it is just within his grasp, when he could call down legions of angels, when with a word he could make Pilate, the high priest, and all the people bow their knee, he's silent. He watches in silence. And appearing as a man, he humbled himself and became submissive to the point of death, even death on a cross. And with that, the shouts turn ugly. From the heights of Hosanna to the horrors of hell come the cries, crucify him. The power is there for the taking, and he refuses. He empties himself and watches as all the world around him seizes after what belongs to him. He watches silently as Adam and Eve seize the fruit so they can become like God. He watches silently as the chief priests and the scribes seize their privileged position. He watches silently as you and I seize after privileges that we would use for our own gain. As spouses and parents, children, taxpayers, property owners, employees, employers, officers, as those who represent God in the world, we seize things for our own gain. We put others down. We put someone to death in order to rise. Jesus watches silently. We bind him, we whip him, we mock him, we spit on him, and we pierce his hands and feet. God's own son with skin on him, and he doesn't say a word. For he did not regard equality with God something to be seized for his own gain, but rather he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and being born in the likeness of you and me, and appearing like you and me. He humbled himself and became submissive to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is what forms us. This is what shapes us as Christians. This is what gives us a second article mindset, so that we know our Lord Jesus, so that we bow our knee and confess with our tongue, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, this Jesus who humbled himself to death, is my Lord. For this reason, God has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we talk about the second article, we're talking about confession, doctrine, theology, and so often when we talk about the catechism, it seems so distant, so far away. It's not so much what does it mean, but what does it matter? What does it matter as I leave this place of peace and return to a place of hostility? What does it matter when I leave this place of forgiveness and return to a place of problems, sin, guilt, failure, and weakness? What does it matter when I step out of my church shoes and put on my work shoes? What do these words matter when I leave this conversation with God and enter those conversations with other people? But this is where the second article mindset means everything. First of all, it reveals that Jesus, who was in the form of God, who took the form of a slave, who emptied himself and submitted himself to death, did it for you. It matters because this Jesus, true God and true man, has redeemed you. And it shapes our mindset in a second article way. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. It matters because the only way you can know God is with you on Monday is here. That you can know God has made you his own, that he will not allow sin or death or the devil to take you away from him. It matters because this Jesus who has redeemed you is your Lord. And it shapes our mindset in a second article way. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. Let this same mindset be in you, namely the mindset of Jesus Christ. As a church, a fellowship joined together under one Lord who bows the knee, who confesses with our mouth what we believe together, let this mindset be in you. As families and relationships, where conversations are not always so peaceful, where things are not always as they should be, where things are said and done that should never have been said or done, and you don't know how you could forgive, let this mind be in you. As Christians who are often put down, trampled on, mocked for what we believe, as those who are called to represent Christ in the world, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became submissive to the point of death. Use your privileges as people, citizens, families, Christians, not for your own personal gain, but in humility, in service to others. The ring is offered to you, and here we give it up freely. We empty ourselves, and with the tongue and the knee, we call upon the one who we consider Lord. Lord of our problems, Lord of our sins, Lord of our lives. We call upon Jesus as we represent Christ, not just on Sunday, but every day in our vocation. We are formed in this mindset, confessing with bold hearts before all the world, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God and also true man, is my Lord. Amen.